It's Thursday, the 26th day of July, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is a key edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight, breaking news from the InfoWar. Leaked UN treaty does ban guns. Treacherous wording upholds states' gun rights, but not individuals. Plus,
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Right on cue, Barack Obama exploits last week's Batman massacre to begin the push for gun control. Will the Joker have the last laugh? Then, an estimated 500 military men and dogs will be used as law enforcement battalions. These soldiers, having served on tours in Afghanistan, will now be activated and based out of military bases across America to help local police forces. And Alex Jones talks with Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America about the obvious link between the upcoming vote on the UN Small Arms Treaty and the unfolding PSYOP in Aurora, Colorado. All that and more, up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this evening. Let's start first with a InfoWars.com Aaron Dykes report. Bombshell leaked UN treaty does ban guns. Treacherous wording upholds states' rights, that is nations' rights, to have a military but not individual rights. President Obama today joining the chorus for gun control inside the United States in the wake of the Batman massacre has previously indicated that he would sign the treaty, which would then have to be ratified by the Senate. It could happen tomorrow, it could happen next week, but this is a very serious situation. Each state party shall adopt national legislation and or appropriate national measures, regulations, and policies as may be necessary to implement the obligations of this treaty. And it gets into not letting citizens own guns, unless it's for some special cultural event where you can have a gun, maybe at a military parade. Repeatedly, the treaty obligates states to establish national control systems, and it just goes on from there. Very scary, big news, huge news at InfoWars.com. Please get it out. It specifically recognizes only the lawful private ownership and use of conventional arms exclusively for recreational, cultural, historical, and sporting activities. As the ATF has said, banned shotguns that were not for sporting. Well, it's not for sporting. It's protected from you. For states where such ownership and use are permitted or protected by law. So it says ban them everywhere else, but where it may be in law, only for hunting. Folks, it's a Trojan horse. They've been caught. The new treaty is out. It's been leaked. They've confirmed it's theirs. This is big news. Continuing, we have a video clip of this, don't we? Obama has come out and said the Second Amendment is about hunting in gun control stunt. Effort to exploit Aurora massacre for political grist accelerates. And Watson says, hey, he was pressured to do this. No, he had all his surrogates, because he's a puppet too, all his little puppets under him come out and call for it while he stayed off the fence. Now he's saying, hey, you don't need semi-automatic. Come on. Don't need that for duck hunting. Well, it's not for duck hunting. It's when foreign bankers take over and want to rape us collectively. Let's go to that clip.
And we also pray for those who succumb to the less publicized acts of violence that plague our communities in so many cities across the country every single day.
You know now the mother's come out and said she never said her son did it. That was made up. You know, even local Fox News, as we covered last night, has said this stuff doesn't add up. The police scanners and all the witnesses say two shooters. You got a guy clearly drugged up out of his mind who's the patsy. Hey, if they commit a mass shooting in Austin, Texas, where this show comes to you from, and roll me out and I can't talk and I got bozo hair, I've been set up, okay? I mean, this guy is so drugged up it makes your head spin. Pro-gun rights group, Not Preposterous, to ask whether government was behind Aurora shootings. And that's made it from Slate.com, you name it. Larry Pratt, who's joining us after the break, is going to be breaking that down. Yeah. I mean, a government that's been caught staging all this stuff from Gulf of Tonkin to Fast and Furious, of course we got to look at them as one of the prime suspects. We'd be insane if we didn't. All right, let's go along now here to the next piece of news. Former Citigroup CEO says break up the megabanks. Yeah, There's six of them. They're all foreign. They've signed us on to 1.5 quadrillion globally, 644 trillion domestically. That is not our debt. We owe 15 trillion. That can be paid off quickly. We're not in debt. I'm not even for welfare because it makes you dependent, but welfare isn't what did all this. That's just the chicken feed to get everybody addicted to government. The bankers are the Ponzi scheme operators. Sandy Wheely, former CEO and banking giant Citigroup, and widely regarded as the creator of the financial supermarket model that dominates global capitalism, made waves today by saying he believes the largest U.S. bank conglomerates are unnecessary, harmful, and should be broken up. Not just broken up, so we can't target who did this. The debt they created that we've been signed on to, too big to fail, write it off. It is a black hole, impossible to pay off, isn't our debt. Who makes them the boss now? In fact, we have audio of that. Should we play that clip? Here it is.
That's a pretty radical idea, though, the idea of breaking up the investment banks and the banks. Are you suggesting going back and really breaking these companies up?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. So I want to see the United States be the leader. I mean, I really believe in our country. And we're not going to be a leader if we keep on trashing our institutions.
Okay, so then...
That's pretty right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big insider saying, this crime is so out of control, there's going to be nothing left. Paul Craig Roberts, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts said that yesterday on my show, former head of the Treasury. I mean, folks, this is biblical-level criminality. They're taking houses nationwide that are paid off right now, the big six banks are. And the courts just say, you're God, take the house. It's paid for, but we're stealing it. This is dangerous. I mean, this is Soviet Russia, Nazi Germany type stuff. We got a few months, maybe a year or so to turn the clock here. And this is way beyond puppet Obama or Romney. This is, folks, if you've studied history, you would be literally in chills right now. I know a lot of you have. That's why you're watching the show. But, I mean, this is real. We're not here hyping all this stuff. I mean, this is dangerous. This is dangerous. They've got the army patrolling all over the country now, getting ready for martial law to protect the criminals that took over. We got to write this debt off, and the people that invest in it, that's their problem, because there's no way it's going to bring the whole system down. It's like the government is Bane or something, not Bane Capital, but you know, Bane from Batman. I mean, it's they're that dangerous. What an incredible clip. Let's shift gears, speaking of the military now, from Megabank to U.S. military and local police working together on American streets all over the country. Regular Army, Marines, National Guard. They are at the football games, the basketball games, the Little League games, checkpoints all over the highways. U.S. military and local police working together on American streets. And they've been ready for deployment with brigades in every city. And we've got in this article at Infowars.com all the statements by the generals, the Secretary of the Army, all of them. Why are they getting this ready now? This was built in the shadows for a long time. And again, it's about the criminal interests that have hijacked this country, trying to make sure we do what they say and stay signed on to their debt worldwide. We always think of being enslaved is like a foreign government comes and takes over. No, this is corporate. They wear suits and ties. They go to jail or we're slaves. It's a real simple equation. Okay, let's continue. British deploy 36,000 for Olympic security, police, and military. We broke this months ago that there was no real security. They were planning an all-fake Al-Qaeda attack. Now that's admitted. The Seattle Times reports on all of that. Speaking of the Olympics, this is being used as a pretext for full martial law. Whether it's a Super Bowl, Kentucky Derby, or other events in Europe, we're sold that military and police have got to be on the streets to keep us safe. And missile batteries, because we're under attack by, I guess, the Germans or something, have to be on top of the buildings because of Muslim jihadis who our own governments fund to attack Libya and Syria are about to attack us any minute. And our own Patrick Henningsen has shot some exclusive video of the missile batteries on rooftops. Here's that clip.
London 2012 Olympics. All the athletes are here in East London. It's all about football, tennis, basketball, decathlons, pentathlons, and also surface-to-air missiles on your rooftop. This footage of a British Army contingent on the rooftop of Frederick Tower in Leytonstone, East London. And we can see they have a radar system on top, SAM missiles, and they're also the complete 16th floor of the building has been commandeered by the armed forces or the Ministry of Defense. And we're going to have a closer look at that right now.
There doesn't really seem to be much security. The police van that was initially here has gone. There's no one actually looking after the adjacent tower, which strikes me as odd because I assume that if you're on the top of the other tower, you have a kind of direct line to that tower. So we were told by a resident in the John Walsh Tower that the only thing that they've done is just put a lock on the top flats there, blocking the access to the roof. So yeah, I think there's two men on the roof there. Whether those missiles are real or not, we don't know. The MOD said that the missiles left outside Lexington Tower were dummy missiles, which also strikes me as odd, because if they're dummy, well, why would they use them or need them, or why would there be this whole fiasco?
On the 27th of April this year, the residents of this very ordinary block of flats received a leaflet through their door one Friday afternoon to say that the Ministry of Defence would be installing a ground-to-air missile system on their roofs. Obviously, they were very concerned about that. The Ministry of Defence invited them to a show-and-tell at a local primary school the following Wednesday, where they put on a display of the ground-to-air missiles they were going to put on the roofs. The residents went there and were incredibly concerned, obviously. Any private person would be deeply concerned if their home was to be militarised and become a forward operating base for the military. Unfortunately, the Ministry of Defence didn't ask their permission and did not consult them about the missiles. They also failed to offer them any form of redress, for example, to provide alternative accommodation for those people who are most afraid of having the missile system on their roof. Mm-hmm. The residents went to their local Member of Parliament, who contacted us and asked us if we could represent those people. We met with them and we heard their fears, and they were the normal fears that any person would have. Their fears were exacerbated, actually, by the fact that their block of flats had almost burnt to the ground just 6 months previously, and they had been evacuated in the dead of night amongst billowing smoke, elderly, disabled people, children. So you can certainly understand their additional concerns that they were now to have a high-powered ground-to-air missile base on their roof.
We've got two members of the army upstairs looking directly at us. No one's really willing to speak on camera about how they feel, although a lot of people have told us off record that, you know, this is a residential area, not a war zone, so people are understandably angry about it. We are being watched as we speak. Actually, there's a pair of binoculars looking directly at us on the 16th floor. Yes, we're hopefully going to try and speak to some people, but everyone we've spoken to is just worried, obviously, about being evicted after the Brian Whelan case, where he went publicly on camera and he filmed the missiles being unattended, and he was promptly evicted from his flat in Bow. So obviously people here are worried the same things will happen to them. So what are your feelings about the rockets and missiles on top of the Frederick Tower that's just, 20 metres away from your doorstep?
Oh, I think personally it's very dangerous, you know what I'm saying? Because I really think that there's no need for this, really, you know what I'm saying? Because I understand it's for security reasons, but not to this level, if you understand what I mean, because there's children living there, you know, and it's not very pleasant knowing that you're going to sleep and there's a bomb on top of your house, you know, accidents do happen. Mm. So I think, to me, it's very dangerous.
It's kind of an odd feeling.
I didn't find out until, I think I heard it on the news, ITV3.
Right.
That's when I saw the flat and I said, nah, they can't be putting bombs on a flat.
Alternatively, they could have built a gantry behind the block of flats on the huge area of parkland that exists there. The Ministry of Defence had established missile bases in a number of parks across London. If they could do it there, why not at this park rather than on their roofs.
This is basically a landmark ruling that suggests that any home in this country could be turned into a military base.
Yes, well, it doesn't suggest, it is.
It is.
It has been confirmed that the Ministry of Defence now have this extraordinary new power that they have never had before. We have never had the militarisation of private residences in the United Kingdom except in wartime. The Ministry of Defence submitted and the court accepted that they do have the right to militarise your home, to put a tank on your lawn or troops in your front sitting room or a ground air missile base on your roof without asking, without consulting, just so long as they say that national security is engaged.
David Forstick, who appeared on behalf of the MOD, said, quote, "The MOD, intelligence agencies and the Metropolitan Police do not consider there is any credible threat to the Fred Wig Tower from terrorism." Now, did that statement strike you as odd when he said that?
Well, yes, it did, actually. The fact of the matter is that during the course of the case, the Ministry of Defence made it absolutely clear that they would be providing no perimeter security at all.
Against talking to the residents.
Yeah, but if you do go inside, you'll be trespassing. If someone wants to come and take
I'm a member of the press. We're doing this in full and open public view. There's nothing to hide.
Yeah, that's what you can do outside here, then.
So you don't mind if we speak to residents?
No, we don't mind outside.
Outside the building?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's fine, absolutely.
But if I go in there, what are you going to do? You're going to call the police, or you're going to tackle me, or beat me up? Under whose authority? The council's or the police?
Yeah, you do that.
It's a bit of a legal gray area. I don't think there's anything that can actually keep me from going in the building and talking to residents. I think you're
but
just
But do you live there in the building?
I don't.
So then why do you want to go inside?
Because I'm a resident of London. I can go into any borough I want.
I can speak to any citizen I want
about a public matter.
No. But you're trespassing. If you're going somewhere and you don't live there, so...
Knocking on a door is
yeah,
not
but that's what I'm saying. When someone comes out, you can talk to them. You can communicate with them.
It's not trespassing. This is a commons area. Each of these are individual properties, either leased or owned via the council. So the building itself is not.
If you go to www.ashamholmes.co.uk, there is a number of Asham Holmes. You can contact them and make an appointment, and you can do it the official way. Okay, that's the best. Obviously, I can say, but we've told you what the score is now. Now it's up to you if you want to follow that or you don't want to follow that. That's entirely your decision.
Well, I'm gonna respect what you said, but I'm gonna tell you that the majority of residents in this building did not want that so badly that they took the MOD to court. Okay, and you guys are running cover for somebody who you don't even know. Okay, we still live in a free country, right?
Job.
Unless someone's paying you to do a job, then I guess you have a different angle on it, and I respect that. But this is still a free country, and there's still a free press.
So we had problems getting into the Fred Wig Tower, but we're now on the adjacent tower, which is the John Walsh Tower, and we're on the 9th floor, and we've got a clear view of the roof. Obviously, we can't see what's on it, but we can actually see the Fred Wig Tower here.
The residents of Fred Wig Tower are very ordinary people. Many of them are on benefits, they're unemployed. Some have very limited use of English. They are not at the top end of society. And they are very fearful about the consequences to them of speaking out. A number have said to me that they are afraid to go on camera to voice their concerns because they are afraid that they will be evicted. But you have referred to Mr. Whelan, who has lost his home. And they have those genuine fears, whether or not they are real or imagined.
My name is Brian Whelan. I'm a journalist who was living in Bow Quarter up until last Saturday, when unfortunately I've had my tenancy terminated for speaking out in the press about this missile plan, so I've had to move home. From the moment that I found out about this plan via a leaflet pushed under the door late at night, I've had questions. I've had a lot of questions for the MOD. We're 2 months down the line, and the MOD have still failed to answer any of them. The first thing is, why didn't you consult with anyone who lives in these buildings? Why didn't you consult with anyone who lives in the community? Who did you speak to? Why did you think this was okay?
This might be the thin end of the wedge, whereby the government sets a precedent and then the powers only grow from here.
Well, I wouldn't describe it as the thin end of the wedge. I describe it as the thick end of the wedge. There has been a complete change as a result of this case in British society. We now have on record the fact that the Ministry of Defence has a new power, and that is to militarise any private home without asking permission, without consulting, simply on the basis that they consider that national security is engaged. Now, how is that judged? Is national security engaged? Do you have any input into that as a resident? No, you don't. You simply have to take their word for it and give up your home to them. Let's be clear. Whenever a government takes a new power over the civilian population, they never give it back.
All we've had is the promise that, you know, we'll make you safer. Having missiles on your roof, having armed police in the corridor, having 10 soldiers, you know, at the top of the water tower 24 hours a day will make you safer. But it doesn't make me feel safer. It makes me feel like that they've made the building I lived in a target. It feels to me that rather than actually secure the Olympics and do their job, they're flexing some muscle. They're using the roof of the building as a shop window to showcase military hardware.
The evidence was given to the court that the Ministry of Defence believed that there was a serious risk of a potential air attack. We can't discount that. That has happened before with 9/11, for example. But London is one of the world's great capitals. To suggest for a moment that London is not already ringed with air, ground-to-air security to prevent foreign attack would be ludicrous. I wonder at the need for these additional measures within London. Are we really going to shoot down planes over London? Where are they going to land? During the Beijing Olympics, just 4 years ago, they also had ground-to-air systems, but they did not place them on residential homes. They placed them in parks. So if the Chinese are able to develop a substantive air defence system that does not require the militarisation of private homes, surely we here in Britain can do the same.
So it looks like a bit of an eminent domain situation here at Frederick Tower. Looks like today we're not going to be able to get into the building, but we do know that the 15th floor, the 16th floor, I believe the top floor, the residents have been cleared out. So I think it might have been a case of the MOD coming in saying, we need your flats and you've got to go. And so they have been cleared out. And also we got some footage earlier of the military setup up on the roof. Again, there's been mentions in other reports that the missiles are actually dummies. That they have blanks up there, which makes sense, because if this was live ammunition on the roof of Frederick Tower right now, there would be probably military police around the perimeter. It would have to be the whole area would have to be secured. So, and if it's not secured, then that is a problem if there was live ammunition up on top. So again, no matter how you cut it, this is a catch-22 for the military and the police, because they're not ensuring public safety, or on the other hand, they're just projecting security theater. Okay, so, and based on a threat assessment that they have not allowed the public to know about or see. So the only reason you'd need surface-to-air missiles is to shoot down a jet. And London is one of the most heavily enveloped and secure cities in the world, with missile defenses in perimeter areas all around the city. So it seems to me a bit over the top and completely unjustified to put military hardware on the roof of a residential block with hundreds of residents living inside.
I'm not the only person to lose my home because of the Olympics. Plenty of people have been forced out because of increased rents, and their stories don't end up on the BBC News. It's not just missiles either. We're getting snipers and helicopters, we're getting sound cannon, we're getting aircraft carriers, we're getting a big military show. You know, Mile End Stadium just up the road is to be handed over. which is a really vital sporting amenity for the local community, is to be handed over to the US team for training. So we're going to have armed US troops securing the perimeter of Marlen Stadium in our community. That, to me, is a much bigger scandal than the missiles.
So David Enright, the human rights lawyer at Martin Howe & Co, was right. It's true that the residents of the Fred Wigg Tower do feel too intimidated to talk to any of the media on camera. We did briefly speak to one of the residents outside the Fred Wigg Tower who said he wouldn't speak to us because one of the residents there had got into trouble with the police for letting in a journalist the previous day. This is another case of police state whereby we're unable to go into a public residence. We're unable to knock on doors. If this were in Syria or Iran, we would be crying out to the UN that these people were being used as human shields because they had missiles on their residential roofs. This is Daisy Jones with Patrick Henningsen in London for Infowars.com.
Continuing drug money funds voter fraud in Kentucky. This is out of Fox News. Prosecutors say $400,000 part of drug proceeds was pooled by Democratic and Republican politicians over several elections and spent to buy the votes of more than 8,000 voters, usually at $50 apiece. That's why they want to keep you poor so they can buy you for nothing. See, corruption is a broke-back mule, folks. You don't want to live in a corrupt country. People sell corruption like it's sexy and, ooh, you get... No. It's a wasteland. And that's just par for the course. I saw a story about big U.S. banks caught laundering drug money again today or caught using their own customers' banks, bank accounts, to launder money. I mean, this is a criminal enterprise. Criminals have taken over. That's what tyranny is. And it's the norm in society, so I suggest people stand up to it and say no. Here's an Infowars.com report. Genetically modified apples, newest GMO creation to be pushed on consumers. Doesn't matter, in every major study they put backdoor, just like into the tech, stuff in there that reduces fertility, has all sorts of problems. They also fight for the public not to know what this is done medically, but in every other study, we haven't seen this info yet because it's secret, because it's proprietary, it causes sterilization, lost fertility, and organ failure in rats. Just look that up for yourself. By the way, you remember Fukushima? They told you there wasn't any radiation hitting the U.S. It turns out it's off the charts, and they don't test the food now because when they did a year ago, the stuff out of the Pacific's full of radiation, radioactive particles. But hey, if you're a corrupt system, just say it's healthy. So what? Continuing, Iran nuclear plant hit by virus playing AC/DC. That's being reported. So the Stuxnet was launched a year ago against the Iranians by our own government and Israel in collusion. And then we're still told, give up your rights, give up control of the Internet, let the government tax you and trace you because of Stuxnet. And it turns out most of the worms and viruses are created by who? The criminal banker, Ponzi scheme operators that are order out of chaos, that have hijacked our country, and that are threatening to order the police to stand down unless we turn our guns in, which is illegal, but Bloomberg doesn't give a damn. So that's basically it on that front. And we are going to now go to a special report by Jakari Jackson, one of our new amazing reporters that we have visiting with us that we hope to get in here full time. And then we are going to come back with the quote of the day. Then the big extended full premiere of the Dave Mustaine interview, powerful political interview. He hadn't gotten political with us before. We've done that behind the scenes. We're good friends. He visits every few months here in Austin. He's moving here to Austin. So very exciting to have him joining the Info War. We're going to come out with Dave Mustaine. Then we're going to go to break. And then we're going to bring you the Larry Pratt interview on the UN gun ban treaty that's been leaked and a lot more. Here is Jakari Jackson.
Thanks, Alex. This is Jakari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We have a report for you from the Business Insider. Headline, damning report alleges NYPD consistently violated rights of Occupy protesters. Now, this is nothing new to our viewers, but we're happy to see other organizations covering this type of material. A group of legal experts have published a report detailing abusive and unlawful protest regulations and policing practices by the New York police in response to the Occupy Wall Street protesters. Now, we have a list of allegations here just in the city of New York alone. Excessive or unnecessary use of force, massive and continuous over-policing, obstruction of press freedoms and legal monitoring, constant surveillance, accountability, and transparency failures, and the list goes on from there. Now, we have a video that we're about to throw to. We'll see here in this first clip an officer swinging his nightstick pretty much indiscriminately at a crowd of protesters, not taking into account who he's going to hit or the amount of damage he's actually going to inflict. And here's one. An officer throws a gentleman to the ground when the man steps between the officer and his desired target, another protester. And finally, we see a man walk in here to a crowd of about six police. The man is immediately attacked, grabbed, has his mask removed, and thrown to the ground. And yeah, it is a little suspect to wear a mask, but hey, it's the city of New York. Now, it's just one of the many videos that we've shown right here on InfoWars.com. You see many videos yourself of police brutality at these Occupy events. You've seen them on YouTube. Some of you have even submitted your clips here, and we definitely appreciate that. But we just want to show that the police brutality is spreading. And speaking of spreading to other cities, further detailed studies from the Protests and Assembly Rights Project will be published in the coming months about police response in Boston, Charlotte, Oakland, and San Francisco. And keep in mind, back in May, right here on InfoWars, we ran a story about Occupy Minnesota. We have the article right here, as a matter of fact. Cops drugging people associated with OWS Minnesota. Allegedly, the police picked up people from PV Plaza, their Occupy spot, drove them out to the airport, got them loaded, took them back to the Occupy spot, dropped them off. We believe to discredit the movement. So just be aware of all that about the police shenanigans, about the brutality, about the drugging, or at least as we feel here at InfoWars. And that brings us to our quote of the day. We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. When the loyal opposition dies, I think the soul of America dies with it. That by Edward R. Murrow, pioneer of television broadcasting. I'm Jakari Jackson with the InfoWars Nightly News, and that's it for me. Back to you, Alex.
Great job, Jakari Jackson. Look forward to you being here in the InfoWars Command Center in the near future. Now we're going to throw it to my interview with Dave Mustaine. Then we're going to go to break and come back with an interview with Larry Pratt, Gunners of America. My goodness, this is a jam-packed independent news transmission, isn't it? And we're just getting started. Here is Dave Mustaine of Megadeth. Well, for all of our great radio listeners out there, we've got a real treat. Dave Mustaine, the founder of Megadeth, of course, one of the first guys there in Metallica, is here with us in Austin, Texas. It's always great to have Dave stop by. Dave, why are you in Austin, Texas?
Well, the truth is we're planning on moving to Texas, and so we're just out here house hunting, and it wouldn't be right if we didn't stop by and check in with your viewers and your listeners and see you and hang out. We consider you a close friend, and it just is the right thing to do, especially with everything that's going on right now. You know, last time we came through, we kind of talked a little bit about my world, and we didn't really talk about the world in general, which, you know, I think a lot of people that tune into your program, they want to know what I think about, you know, what they believe, and not just what I do for a living and how my work is and the people that are in it. Although that's really interesting to a lot of people, it doesn't really touch on a lot of the topical subjects that affect us all. You know, not very many people are going to end up being a rock star for 30 years.
Dave, I'm not kissing your ass here, but I've met a lot of famous people, and they've always got something, you know, magic about them. Success. People are successful for a reason, because they have passion, they have dedication, they have a lot of art they want to express, but so many of them really are arrogant and disconnected. And what I've noticed is that you are so real and down to earth. And then there's that media image that we're told about Dave Mustaine, you know, which they kind of claim is the opposite of that. But I've just found that you are a real down-to-earth guy who really cares about average people and, quite frankly, opens doors for little old ladies.
Well, I think that's just like anything. You know, there's a counterfeit for everything. And I think a lot of people, You know, the way that they spin stuff in the liberal media, they have a counterfeit to what the truth is. And I think that there's a lot of people who have asked me to do certain things, and it's been against my morals. And when I say no, instead of them accepting that, they walk away and they say stuff about me. It's kind of like when you go to the dance and you walk up to some girl that's really hot, and you ask her to dance, and she says no. For whatever reason, you walk away, and you're like, well, F you. And fill in the blanks of the...
And you tell folks, she's got cooties.
Yeah, right. In a much more colorful way. For me, a lot of that is... it's funny to read. Some of it's a little bit disappointing. It started to bother me when my kids started to read it. But it's just the way the world right now. There's a lot of cowards that sit on the other side of computers and type stuff that they would never say to your face.
We were talking about that last night, about how in the old days, if you said something about somebody, they were going to come track you down. I mean, you were going to have to defend that. Mm-hmm. And that is something entirely new, where people could just anonymously make up the most amazing stuff. I had one of my crew bring me something today that was online claiming I'd committed all these crimes. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of laughed at it. But 5-6 years ago, I didn't understand how the web worked. I would have gotten really mad.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you deal with that? Because people could just, I mean, you're a superstar. People can.
I'm not running for public office, and I don't have my opponent saying that I'm a felon. So, you know, it's a little bit easier for me. Most people say stuff like I can't play guitar very well, or I can't sing very well, or you know, they'll make fun of my name or stuff like that. So they don't really bring up my past. Because
make fun of the cool name like Mustaine.
Well, so there's probably a lot of ways that people can make fun of a lot.
I think they're just jealous, Dave. But you just alluded to something, and again, we've already talked about some of this. You know, driving over here to the studio. Yeah, I saw that last week.
Mm-hmm.
You're alluding to. I'm not claiming Mitt Romney's some great guy. I'm not in love with him. But I mean, come on, the guy has no criminal record. Not Chicago Mafia. Left Bain in '99, and Obama's out there got his people calling him a felon. Excuse me, Obama, you got a lot more skeletons than Romney. Your comments.
See, here's the thing. I'm 50 years old now, and I've lived a great life, and I've been around for a long time, and most of our fans, or most of the people who are against me, are very young, and they're very impressionable, which is a part of being young. That saying that youth is wasted on young people or whatever, that's totally true. I remember when I was really young, I was very impressionable, and I believed a lot of things before I checked it out. And if I would have been told things that I do now are going to affect me later on in life, I would have probably said something like, well, I don't know that I'm going to live that long. But now that I'm 50 and I've watched so many administrations come and go, and I'm watching my children grow up, which is an awesome part of...
By the way, you've got incredible children.
Thanks. It's an awesome part of when a man and a woman marry and have children, to watch them grow up. You have concerns about stuff like that. And you know, sometimes our fans that are younger, they look to me as a big brother or even a father figure, because I really care a lot about them. But I have never been more terrified in my life about what's happening to our country. I believe that if we continue on the same path that we're on right now, that America will never be the same. I freaked out the other day because I was looking at some investment stuff and just reading it, and one of the things that it said was that if you get a second passport and you plan on moving out of the country, if you denounce your citizenship because of the taxes that are going on here or any of the things that are going on, like the police state we've become, that if you want to get your passport back, you have to know things like, where did your mom... where did she live before you were born, all the way up to now? Where did she go in for prenatal care? Who was in the operating room when you were born? All these ridiculous...
Oh, it's even worse than that. They've introduced a law where if you move somewhere, it's just over. You can never come back. They've introduced the law, and they've introduced a law, which is close to passing. People can look this up if you're listening. This is not a joke. I mean, I feel like it's
not a joke.
I feel like I'm lying, and this is like Associated Press, because it's so crazy. It's not America. Like having the president badmouth, you know, you didn't build your business. We're going to talk about that in a minute, Dave. But they actually came out and said that if the IRS claims you haven't paid all the taxes, no proof, no court, you can't leave.
Well, a friend of ours who just, it's a wonderful lady that's a friend with my wife and her husband who's Canadian, they wanted to go back up to Canada and they wouldn't let him go because there was a tax lien on their house because of a contractor who had done some shady work and they didn't want to pay him. So, the guy put a lien on their house and they're in court right now, but they couldn't even go up to Canada to go visit their relatives.
Incredible. So it's already being put into place. So the clock is closer to midnight than we thought. But
well, here's another thing before we get off of this. I looking at these financial things because, you know, I've got, I'm filling out my will and everything right now because, you know, I'm nearing the end of my life and hopefully I'll live a long, long time, but I have to face reality. You know, I'm getting at that age where a lot of men, you know, make that journey either to heaven, which I think I'm going to, or some to hell. And I was looking at this thing and it said that you cannot open a bank account out of the United States of America anymore. If I move to England and say I live there for the rest of my life, if I open a bank account there, they have to notify the United States.
Yes.
So that the United States can continue to tax me, even if I don't live in the United States anymore. And I thought, this is crazy.
Well, America's been taken over by this global government. It is insane. It's not America anymore when these globalist interests take us over and overthrow our Bill of Rights and Constitution. But just to have you repeat what you told me off air about the point about, again, Romney is being called a criminal by Obama, and meanwhile, Obama is engaged in all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's sad. You know, when you look at Pelosi, Reid, and Obama, they got to remember it's we the people, not we three people. And I am absolutely stunned that, you know, Bill Clinton was going to be impeached for having inappropriate behavior with one person, yet these three are screwing the entire nation and the world. And nobody's doing anything about it. I don't understand why there hasn't been a motion to impeach the guy.
Well, your point right before we went live here was that you've got a Fast and Furious, you've got Solandra, you've got all this corruption openly going on, and then the media's like, Romney's a felon.
Right.
And again, it's not that Romney's perfect. It's just that this guy calls the police on his neighbor when they're smoking pot in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not shipping guns to Mexico to blame it on the Second Amendment. I mean, it's just, let's shift gears to that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what is your take on Fast and Furious? And then tying it in to this new event, this tragedy right next to Columbine in Colorado outside Denver, this tragedy that happens a week and a half before Obama says he'll sign the UN treaty. And he's trying to get Congress to ratify it, to register and ban a bunch of our guns.
Well, I had heard about this a while ago, and I had hoped that it was just rumor. But, you know, while we were on stage, we have a song called Guns, Drugs, and Money that we play. And I had gotten so offended as an American that the president had exercised his executive privilege to cover up somebody who, Eric Holder, I believe that if you're held in contempt and you have documents that are going to either exonerate you or, you know, put you in jail, you know, why hide them if it's going to get you off the hook? So that to me is really mind blowing. And I guess it's been proven that it was staged to restrict the Second Amendment. And it's not just that the crimes that it appears that is taking place. You know, when you look at the Constitution, there's something in the Constitution where you have to get congressional permission to go to war. And if you don't get congressional permission, there's a clause in there where you have a certain amount of time after that where you have to get permission to go to war. And to my knowledge, when we went into Libya, that didn't happen. And it still hasn't happened.
No, you're right. In fact, if there's some emergency, he's got a couple months. But then after that, you've got to go get the congressional approval. They control the purse.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent in the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the other generals, the Secretary of Defense, Panetta, and Obama put a letter out. When Congress said, hey, you've got to get approval from us, he said, no, I get it from the UN and NATO. Put a letter out.
Right.
And they had him go before Congress. We played the clips on the show. They're so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that woke up the military and police
mm-hmm.
more than anything I've seen. Now, if I go downtown Austin, the cops just stop and go, you were right. We apologize. It's all true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when I was in Virginia, bullhorning Bilderberg, the cops were on our side to come over and go, no, we saw that. They told us that. I mean, think about that. I'm getting chills right now, Dave.
What bothers me the most about it is the fact that they have these shills that are going on all of the programs defending this Fast and Furious thing. And Brian Terry lost his life and his family. You know, you can try not to watch TV. You can try not to look at the newspapers, but you see this stuff. And it must be devastating to see your own president just kind of sliding this whole thing under the rug. And the thing behind all of this is that, you know, it's not going to stop. You know, when we go through traveling through all the different checkpoints over through Europe, all the globalization was taking place and each country had its own border and they had their own language and stuff like that, you'd come up to customs, you'd go to the border, you'd have to stop and hand in their passport and stuff like that, and now you just kind of roll through there. But when you come to your own country, it's harder to come home. It's harder to go through an airport here in the United States of America than it was for us even in Moscow. We just got back from Moscow, and we rolled through there so fast. I was laughing about it because we got out of the plane, through customs, got our luggage, and we're in the vans rolling to the hotel for the show faster than we get through customs when I come home to the U.S.
We're not as free as we thought, and what's amazing is it's on the news. Obama legalized a bunch of illegals. And when they do fake stings of businesses and stuff, they just release them. And they're now telling sheriffs all over the country that they are not going to pick up illegals that they arrest, even if they're committing crimes.
I don't know anything about that. But I do know that from the people that we've spoken to that are Latino, that we have a huge contingency of Latino fans here in Texas.
All over,
in New Mexico and Arizona and California. Central and South America, in Spain, and a lot of the neighboring countries around Spain that are still Spanish-speaking fans. And they have relatives that are here, whether they're legal or illegal, and they know that this was a move to get votes. They know that. The one thing that you can't make, just because they don't speak English doesn't mean they're stupid.
Exactly. Well, they've had a lot of tyranny in Latin American countries. They're certainly more savvy in many ways.
Yeah, they are.
Finishing up with Fast and Furious, if Obama can get away with shipping close to 20,000 guns and hand grenades into Mexico and guns into Honduras and then states like Florida and Illinois to drug gangs for whatever reason, I mean, my gosh, what are they going to get away with next? I mean, it really is creepy.
I do know this. It's amazing how our liberties are being taken away from us. It's like the frog in the pot of boiling water. You know, if it was boiling water when he jumped in, he'd jump back out. But they slowly turn the temperature up. The frog will stay in there until he boils to death. And that's what's happening to us right here. We don't know what's going on. A lot of the American people are so busy working their asses off to make ends meet right now. They don't have time to sit in front of the news. And the news is such pablum. It's opium for the masses. And it's stuff that you want to feel good. See, the thing that I laugh about when I hear Obama say, well, give the folks a chance. Give everybody a chance. You know, take away from the rich people. Well, what happens when the folks that he's given a chance gets a chance, becomes successful, is rich? Well, then all of a sudden, you're Obama's enemy now. And the thing for me is that, you know, I'm in that 1% that he's talking about. Megadeth won't be able to tour anymore once all these things that he's planning on doing to me happens. On top of the fact that...
Yeah, we've talked privately. You said, listen, after all the taxes and everything, I'm getting like 20% of it. If they do this, it's over.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Venezuela or Russia. They don't get it. Once you cut out that small profit margin, it's over.
It's done. It's done. And the fact that he would say that I did not build my own business offends me tremendously. I'm disgusted with this guy. And you know, he's my president. You know, I respect the office of the presidency, but I think as a person and the things that he says, I've never heard anything this offensive ever come out of the mouth of a president. And I'm 50. I've heard a lot of presidents talk in my life. And, you know, listeners out there can say what they want about me or be mad at what I'm saying right now. And I'm saying this out of love for you guys. You know, you may not have love in your heart for me, but I have love in my heart for you. And that's why I'm a public figure and I play music. I try and educate people through lyrics. Some of the songs could be construed as being a little bit, you know, unrealistic. You know, some of the songs are a little bit fun. You know, they're make-believe topics and stuff like that. But songs like Peace Sells But Who's Buying is still relevant today. Songs like Holy Wars is still relevant today.
More relevant than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that wasn't because I was clever and I came up with a lyric. I paid attention. I watched what happened through the Carter years, through the Ford years, and watched how, you know, what Jimmy Carter did to our country, taxes at 70%, you know, when I was growing up, and thinking, how on earth did anybody survive back then? For me, when you take out 5% for the business manager, 15% for the personal manager, 10% for the agent, and 45% for taxes, what's left for Dave? You know, and people think, oh, Dave's a millionaire. No, Dave isn't. Dave is an American that's getting plowed by the government.
Listen, over 90% of the money, it's like 95% that comes in here, goes to the crew and taxes, and they all pay taxes. People don't get it. I mean, feudal serfs paid about 10%. We pay almost everything. People have no idea. They think, well, they've done actuaries where if you took all the rich people's money, what they call rich, in the United States, it'd run the country for like 3 months. I mean, it's gone. But that's who goes and gets their hair done. That's who goes and buys cars and buys houses and buys clothes. That's who's buying stuff.
Right.
You get rid of the middle class and the rich people, it's over. But the ultra rich, they're offshore. They're actually the ones selling this monopoly.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing was many years ago when Obama first got in office, I had said something. I was in Australia and I was on the radio and a lot of people took exception to what I said. I said that he was the most divisive president that I've ever seen, and look what's happening right now. There's race wars, there's class wars, you know, there's sexual wars now, there's religious wars, and you know, don't we remember how smooth this guy was when he was saying that, you know, we're going to bring everybody together and he's for change and
hope. His minions would say, thank you, I'm getting a free house, and he wouldn't disagree with them. But they're not getting a free house now. That's what's so amazing about this, Dave, is that when he says, if you have a small business, you didn't build that. That's a quote.
I mean,
that is a direct attack on the American dream. And everybody I know who's a musician, an artist, a person that gets up at 4 a.m. to make a bricklayer donuts, they know, no, I did this, man. Don't sit there and say I didn't do this.
Get up in the morning and they...
The little bit you get to keep.
Yeah.
And then they're telling you, you didn't do that.
So see, for me, the way that I get any kind of solace out of what's going on right now, because, you know, I've been playing for a long time and I don't plan on playing another 30 years. Although, you know, I would like to be able to play music for the rest of my life. I don't know that I'll be doing it on the road. The pleasure I get out of that is being on stage, looking at people's faces, smiling and stuff like that. The screeching reality is when you travel and you go back through the airports. When we left here last time, my 14-year-old was groped by the TSA, and I was so mad. I was swearing, and the one very large woman said, "What's that?" And I said, "You heard what I said." And Pam, my wife, grabbed me and she said, "Don't say anything," because she knows that these guys are power drunk and that they probably would have arrested me for just saying something about them groping my 14-year-old. The thing that really is blowing me away is this molecular scanner, this Pico scanner, whatever they're talking about. And it's not only here. The Russians have one, too. So it's something that's very real. And I read up on that and it says it's about gunpowder and explosives, and that's what the primary purpose of it is. But it also says that it can read inside of your system and say what kind of medication you're on. So I imagine with this...
It's a total invasion of your Fourth Amendment.
Right. I imagine that what they're going to do is they're going to have a database to cross-reference whether the person that shows up that's got narcotics in his system is under doctor's care or not. Or if, you know, they... For example, for me, I when we're on tour, we're around people who do pyro. And pyro is gunpowder and explosives for the fireworks.
Now you have it, fire and explosions.
So if I shake hands with my pyrotechnician, I'm going to get arrested for being a terrorist because I've got trace elements of gunpowder and explosives on me because there's fireworks going on. On top of the fact that because of the cocaine use and people using dollar bills rolling,
it's on everything. Board,
there's traces of cocaine on all money, so anybody touching currency is going to have trace remnants of cocaine on their hands. That's going to show up, and it's just madness, you know, to think that it's getting to this point. I mean, I can handle us having security. but not like this.
It's about making all of us the criminals, but the state is exempt. Look at all the TSA agents that have been caught being convicted pedophiles. They're hiring felons, robbing people, abusing.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. This guy was an artist, and he had a half ounce of weed in his suitcase, and the guy wrote on one of those cards that I get in my suitcases every time I open them, "Come on, son." But they left his herb in there, and the guy tweeted and said, "Can you believe this guy let me off?" And
I saw that. I saw the note. So it's all selectively enforced. And then a woman had a catheter. They ripped that out of her. Colostomy bags.
Oh, my God.
Old World War II vets. People,
children.
I mean,
handicapped kids.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
It's all a giant power grab. And now they're saying because of the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Denver, they want TSA in the malls.
Yeah, people will stop going to movies. You know, if the people that own the theaters are that stupid, they're going to put themselves out of business. You know, and rightly so. If they do that, they deserve to be put out of business.
Yeah, because even though it's a tragedy, 13 dead and 70-plus wounded, that many die every day on the state's highways in Texas. I mean, literally, they're hyping this culture of total fear up.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked this morning after the shooting out in Denver, I mean, we discussed your bottom line gut feeling, and most of my listeners agree. I mean, you've got a UN treaty next week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got every time they want to pass legislation, they don't have the votes in the Senate. They're a couple shy, and then magically this happens. It's a guy in a mask, and then they catch some other guy who's involved in some government program with brain technology.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is drug some guy up, and then like Sirhan, they say he's. What's your gut, Dave, about what happened here?
Well, I'm very, very sorry for the loss of human life, for the people that were at the movie theater, for the victims, and the loss for the families. So I don't want to seem insensitive at all, because if it happened to me or any of my family, I would be outraged.
But they want to know who did it, really.
They do want to know who did it? And the thing is, you got to ask yourself, where do you get flash grenades from?
How do you, because they admit it's a modern theater, those things are sunk in. They only open one way. It's not like it's just an iron hinge. It's in the wall and opens. A rhinoceros can't knock those down. Everybody's pointing that out.
Yeah.
How did he knock, they said he knocked the door down.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the actual thing because, you know, we've been out here house hunting and I
just, yeah.
I saw your tweet this morning, or your text to me this morning, and I thought, oh my God, Alex has lost his mind because he said something about Batman and what happened. And I was like, huh? And then I saw it on the news this morning, and I was mortified. But see,
yeah, my text was like, I think this is staged to pass the UN treaty.
Mm-hmm. But see, the thing is that I had said something about this whole gun thing, and that I thought it was very cowardly that the Obama administration had used Hillary Clinton to go behind the backs of the American people to get this done in the UN instead of get it done in the U.S., because the people of America won't go for it. One of the reasons that the Japanese didn't push past Pearl Harbor was there was a famous emperor or something that he said that he wasn't going to go to the mainland because behind every blade of grass was an American with a gun. And, you know,
that was Admiral Yamamoto, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just reading something a couple days ago. I think it was Washington had said something about, you know, having arms is what gives America its teeth. And I can't.
Call them liberty teeth. It gives the teeth of the First Amendment.
Right.
The Second Amendment. You're absolutely right, Dave, and you're quoting Veritas here. The whole thing reeks to high heaven.
Yeah. And again, like I said, you know, I had heard that there were flash grenades that were used.
Yeah.
And the only people that can get those are military and police.
That's what they said. They said there was like multiple guys in black uniforms, and they thought there were multiple shooters, and no one did anything because he was, quote, a cop. And somebody went and opened the door and let him in. First, they knocked the door down. Let me tell you. And then it's a white guy living in an almost completely black apartment complex, and now his house is booby-trapped. I mean, this thing looks... Look, why does it always happen?
That's sad for the neighbors there, because, you know, having your house booby-trapped, people that are near you are going to be hurt, you know? It's just so sad the way the world has become, you know? For me, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior, and I know that you know, there's a big plan. I talked about that in Holy Wars, and... You know, I'm just shaking my head thinking, God, how bad is it going to get? How bad is it really going to get?
You know, Dave, I think this is just the beginning. I think you foresaw it decades ago. I mean, I think this is just the beginning
George Orwell foresaw it decades ago. I got to tell you, when I read 1984, I thought, this is the craziest stuff in the world. You know, this will never happen. And right now, they've got people going back into books and taking stuff out of the history books to change things. And just like Orwell said in 1984, when the guys were there going back and erasing people ever lived that had gone against the government. Do you remember?
That's because he'd actually been
a poster here that says Ingsoc, and I knew exactly what that was.
Exactly. He had been a communist and discovered it was all a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd worked for Stalin in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he said, well, I couldn't get this published as a nonfiction. There's so many, you know, Brits in the intelligentsia were socialist. So he said, I got it published as a, you know, fiction book.
Mm.
But no, he'd experienced that type of double think and double speak. And he extrapolated that this is what communism would build if it took over. And is North Korea not the 1984 system? I mean, it's the ultimate expression.
Wow. That's a whole nother show.
Dave, we have talked about so much here tonight. And there's a few other points that I wanted to raise here for you. What do you, I mean, you have the courage to speak out for what you believe, and the media distorts it and stuff, but in the final equation, people know you're for real, and that's why your fans appreciate you. But what do you make of, say, last year, Hank Williams Jr. comes out and criticizes Obama and says, he actually still, you know, the full quote was, both parties are destroying America, we're becoming Nazi Germany,
mm-hmm.
and I'm mad at Obama. But they came out and said, he says Obama is Nazi Germany. What do you make of them getting him kicked off Monday Night Football? By the way, he's selling more records, I saw the other day, now since that happened.
That's the sweetest revenge of all success. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Hank Williams Jr., not because I don't like him, but it's because I don't really know him. But I did see him on a show the other day playing some music, and you know, I was thinking what it must be like to be somebody in that genre, to be at the top of your game, and then to have someone try and publicly spank you by doing something like that. You know, I didn't think he was the kind of guy that would take that kindly, and that he probably would in some way get his revenge, and success is the best revenge.
Well, that's it. And he's putting out records now just saying, you know what, I'll keep my guns, I'll keep my family, I'll keep my freedom, you can keep your change.
One thing, too, when you say keep our guns, with this thing about people, you know, having to give their guns back, you know, all that's going to do is it's going to prompt more illegal gun purchases, and it's going to cause a lot of deaths of law officers and military men and women who are going to be forced to go against the Second Amendment to come and get our guns. And the thing that I appreciate a lot is the Oath Keeper. Have taken the oath to be a military person, a serviceman or woman, and which says that they're going to uphold the Constitution, and you can't skip parts of the Constitution. It's not like a smorgasbord where you can just take what you want and leave the rest. The whole thing is the Constitution, not part, not half, not quarters, nothing. So for anybody to expect these men and women to have to actually go against their oath that they took, their oath, everything, their moral fiber, put their word on the line and go out there and risk their life for us, and then come back and maybe potentially kill Americans just because they have firearms, which is our right, that just reeks of I mean, I don't even want to say the word because it's to me, it just seems like communism, and I don't want to be like some McCarthyism kind of guy, you know.
No, but when tyranny comes, you've got to recognize it, Dave, and you have incredible courage here. It is the military and police, because I was critical 10 years ago or so before I understood a more sophisticated view. On average, I've met them, as you have. They're really good people.
They're good people. A lot of them are.
And they've been given false paradigms to follow, but now, the fact that they are being trained for gun confiscation, that's finally woke them up. Most of them are actually saying, we're not going to do it. So the tyrants on top, Obama and his controllers, they're trying to get this in place. But here's the deal. No one's going to follow that order. The vast majority.
I don't think so either. And, you know, one of the things about police officers, you know, a lot of people call them pigs. I had two brother-in-laws that were cops. And, you know, they weren't bad cops. If you want to know why cops go bad, watch the movie Serpico. It's
pressure. Peer pressure.
Yeah, peer pressure. And the fact that, you know, you're going to go out and fight crime. And there was one scene in the movie where he was just left to be shot. You know,
oh, I've interviewed Frank Serpico. He's a listener.
Really?
He's an amazing guy. We just had him on, what, 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Well, you know, I watched the movie when I was a kid, and I'm a big Al Pacino fan, and I remember the movie a lot. I remember when I first went to New York, we were kind of talking to people, saying, who do you think you are, Serpico? You know, this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that, you know, my brother-in-laws were good men, and they were good cops. And you know, we have so many military men and women that come to Megadeth shows, and, you know, they go like, holy wars, oh, man, hey, we know we got Vic painted on our tank. I got pictures of stealth bombers and stuff like that with our logo on the front, or Vic, you know, the one particular one shows them in a conductor's outfit, and the plane's called Symphony of Destruction. To me, that's very flattering. Because when I was a kid, the Korean War was happening when I was 18, and I put my card in for the Selective Service. I was ready to go. If they would have drafted me, I would have gone. I wasn't a draft dodger. So I grew up to really respect the men and women who go out and fight for us.
Absolutely. Dave Mustaine, pretty powerful interview here today. I mean, there's so many points to cover. It's our choice, liberty or tyranny. What is the bottom line? If you have to crystallize who Dave Mustaine and Megadeth, Megadeth.com, everything you stand for, what is it?
I'm a Christian man who loves his family, loves his country, and most importantly, loves God. And I'm willing to fight for those things. And I'm willing to share those things with people that would like to know about it. Not willing to get into it with people who don't care about it. I'm not going to defend myself or explain myself. It is what it is.
I agree with that. I found that debating is like pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. If people want to just, you know what, it's like, great, hey, you got your views. I'm not going to fight with you about it.
Well, I got a pig analogy, too. It's like teaching a pig how to sing. It'll never work, and it annoys the pig.
All right, Dave. What's coming up new with Megadeth? You're in demand all over the world. The new album, 13, has done really well. Mm-hmm. What's coming up new for Megadeth?
Well, we're really excited about what's going on. We're getting ready to do a new record. We're leaving in a couple days for Asia, and we'll be coming back and continuing work on this new record, and go to South America in September and come back home and continue to do work on the new record. We're looking for a new release the beginning of next spring, hopefully. And we're super, super excited about what's going on for us. We've continued to congeal as a band with David Ellison coming back, and he and Sean Drover as our rhythm section. It's very important the bass player and the drummer are tight. And David is such an excellent bassist, and Sean's such a great drummer. The two of them just needed to be familiar with one another. And they spend time together all day long when we're on tour, traveling and doing things, mostly seeking out Starbucks around the world. But I'm excited about the music that we're going to be writing. We just changed agencies. We're with the prestigious CAA agency in Beverly Hills. We're going to be going to sign a new contract, for our recording, career. Our contract with Roadrunner's up. We haven't really, notified anybody what our decision is. And as soon as we do, you'll be one of the first people we tell about, because, you know, we're still kind of deciding. But for the most part, we're getting ready to record, this next record. And I'm sure it's going to be chock full of, all kinds of subject matter that our class of 2008 has given us.
In closing, I think it's safe to say that you're not going to be intimidated. You're going to say what you believe. You're going to stand, you know, for liberty. And success is the greatest, you know, revenge. Living well is the greatest revenge, as the French say. But going back here, Megadeth's always been hot as a pistol for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But am I wrong in saying this, what I hear on radio and see out there, that it's even getting hotter, or that it's what you'd call a resurgence? Are you seeing that happen?
You mean as far as people showing up, popularity with the music?
Yeah, all I know is I just see and hear more of a Megadeth buzz than I heard 5 years ago.
Well, I think that when if you look at the cycle, music is cyclical. And heavy metal in general is more popular when times are tough, which is a terrible dynamic. If you look at the paradigm, heavy metal music should not be successful when people are struggling. But that's one of the things that, you know, they don't want to hear a bunch of, you know, vapid, anorexic, alternative, you know, androgynous guys that are singing about love and flowers and, you know, these kind of like ecstasy trips and stuff. You know, they want to know what's going on. They want to know what's happening in their world. And they want to have people they can look to who are rugged individuals who don't look like they could very easily be your sister, you know.
And they
want to have somebody that they can believe in, somebody who's been successful. You know, one of the things that we do when we meet people backstage, which is always a privilege for us to meet our fans and thank them, because, you know, a lot of times they thank us, and it's usually, you know, like...
No, I agree. When fans thank me, I'm like, no, you don't get it. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't you. Yeah.
Like, I just was talking with one of the directors for World Vision, which is a Christian organization that helps the poor. And because of our fans, we've been financially successful so that, you know, me being obedient as a Christian, I tithe. And for the last 2 years, we were capable of tithing an amount that provided brand new clean water wells in Africa for villages
right.
that had no water. So we saw the villages prior to the wells, and the kids had to drink water out of these filthy wells that animals drank out of and defecated.
Well, that's what makes them sick, yeah.
Right. And now they're drinking clean water, and you see them after they're done, they go... and smile, and I started getting tears in my eyes watching them to hear the mothers say that the children couldn't bathe before because they had to decide.
Well, Dave, you reap what you sow. I don't think there's any other rock bands out there. I don't mean to be mean, but you know, the head of YouTube got caught. Bono, he got caught giving less than 1% to charity while he's pushing UN and global government. And I can't imagine raising millions of dollars and not actually, but you, there you are, you're really actually giving right out of what you raised to build water wells.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't like to toot your horn, but that's a good thing.
Well, I think the cool thing about it was at the end of the day, you know, you see that the 200 villagers in each village that received the wells, approximately 200 people per village, not only did they get healthy, they also were able to get their livestock healthy. They were able to plant gardens. And one of the success stories was one of the first gardens. They took their 10% of their harvest and gave it to another poor village. And they sell their vegetables now, and they sell the extra water that they have. The flow of the water is stronger than what they can consume or irrigate their gardens with. So they sell the overflow to the other villages there. Now, this has happened twice. And we plan on sticking with World Vision. And I tweeted about this to our fans and just said, thank you so much for doing this, because it wouldn't have happened without the fan support. We wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that.
But wait a minute. You didn't raise that money off working hard to help build water wells. The government did it. And
I didn't build this business.
Dave, you didn't learn how to play guitar.
Mm-mm. Obama taught me how to play.
You didn't ride around all those buses and, you know, all that hard work, long way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You want to rock and roll? It's a long way to the top unless government does it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just be honest and apologize to government? Do you want to thank Kim Jong-il, Mao, Stalin, and all them, and thank them for helping you be who you are today?
No.
Oh, man, I love...
Beep that out, because they'll be so hypocritical about my Christian stuff.
Oh, whatever. You know, that's what I don't like, is these some of these fake Christians, like Pharisees, they get mad at people that are real with a cuss word, but then don't care about real evil going on, you know?
I'm a freedom fighter. I really try and set a good example for our listeners and stuff like that. But as far as, like, thanking, you know, people who, you know, oppress the masses... You know, when you see some of these leaders that are in gold, gilded palaces and, you know, the people are just right outside. You know, like when we went into India, for example, we stayed in a hotel that had 300 rooms and 600 staff.
Wow.
And right outside the hotel, people were begging in the street, and you could throw pennies in the street, and the children would literally fist fight each other over it. I mean, I'm not some sissy that cries all the time, but I was very
depressing.
Upset about that, because, I hate hardship. I was homeless. I lived on the street. I lived in a car for a long time. You know, I'm trying to tell my kids who have been brought up, in a very safe environment, you know, your dad lived on the street.
Oh, no, you didn't. I can't even imagine you living on the street.
Oh, I know. They have no idea, yeah.
And now I'm really grateful for everything that
you're grateful for what Obama gave you. Because Dave, you came up from nowhere to do everything you've done from the street. And that was thanks to government, even though you didn't get any government help.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
In fact, I want to thank government for my 17 years on air and the crew out there running the show now. And
you know what's sad about all this is that, you know, even though we're joking around about this, this is no joking matter.
No, I had so much crew. When you said earlier a president saying this, it didn't register. Darren McBreen, one of our reporters, came up that morning after he'd said it, like last Monday, and he said, I never thought I'd hear a president talk like that. It's so weird. It's like something Mao Zedong would say.
Right, right. I'm not really aware of what Mao Zedong said, but I do know who he was and what he did. And it just surprises me. Again, to go back to this thing, why hasn't somebody moved to impeach this man? You know, with all of the proof about his birth certificate being fake, and you see the signs in Kenya that says the birthplace of Barack Obama. Hello? Come on, guys. How stupid are we right now?
His own PR people for 16 and a half years, his publicist.
Everything he has.
Put out that he was born in Kenya. His wife says he was born there, but then we go, hey, you say you're born in Kenya. Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the one thing, I guess the best revenge is when you look back in history at what Michelle wore at his inauguration. She had a black dress on with two red triangles, so she looked like the Black Widow turned upside down.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so there's got to be some symbology there. You just don't wear something like that to some event like that without there being some kind of future message being told.
Well, Dave, we've done a lot of interviews in the last 5-6 years that I've interviewed you, but I think this is the best overall. Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For spending time with us. And people can, what, follow you at Twitter?
At Twitter at Megadeth.com, we have you know, a lot of different ways you can, depending on how deep they want to get involved with us. You know, we've got a really great fan club, our cyber army, and our Facebook page, you know, we have two different ways that we tweet. One is me, myself, but we also have a character, our mascot, Vic Rattlehead, and he's got his own Twitter account. And the stuff that I don't feel comfortable saying, he'll say.
Good. So Rattlehead said it. All right. Peace sells, but who's buying? Dave Mustaine, thank you so much for this interview.
You're
great,
welcome.
Great seeing you here in Austin, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, that's an interview with Dave Mustaine, Megadeth.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com, signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar, because there's a war on for your mind. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for truth seekers. We've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at Infowars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at Infowars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up. We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139. We're back, my friends, and as promised, the executive director of Gun Owners of America, the United States' second largest pro-Second Amendment group and the only non-compromise organization fighting for us in Capitol Hill, is joining us via video Skype from his offices. This is one of the most grave transmissions we've ever engaged in. We finally, in the last day, got the UN treaty. They like to hide it on their own website. It was ferreted out by the newspaper The Examiner, and we now have it, and we have confirmed it is the treaty. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all been told it, quote, allows self-defense, yes, by states, governments, because the UN before had said they even want governments disarmed. That's the State Department Memorandum 7277. So now they're coming out, and we have the quotes in an article, bombshell leaked UN treaty does ban guns. And notice magical timing with the Batman shooting in Colorado, all the police reporting two shooters, witnesses two shooters, smoke bombs from two sides. Even Fox News, we had an article yesterday, local Fox, said it doesn't add up. The mother didn't say her son had done it. She said they just said that. This stinks to high heaven, but if they'd stage Fast and Furious that's killed thousands, including several police officers, would they stage this? I don't know what Larry Pratt's going to say on this, but he joins us, then we'll get into the treaty. Mr. Pratt, great having you on such short notice. Out of the gates,
great to
what?
Be with you.
Thank you, sir. What is your take right now on this situation? What are you, I mean, obviously they're seizing on it politically. Obama's saying you shouldn't have semi-auto. We're seeing Michael Moore, all the usual suspects. Sure. Bloomberg's telling police to go on strike. We're going to cover all those points. But what does your gut tell you? And now a week later in the aftermath, what is the intel you've got on this shooting in Colorado? Am I wrong for being suspicious?
I don't think you're wrong. I would have disagreed with you before Fast and Furious because I never in my wildest fears would have thought that our government would actually premeditatedly kill some 400 Mexicans have been murdered and a couple of our U.S. agents. So after we caught them planning premeditatedly for a program that would get people murdered, one of the whistleblowers submitted a report on weekly briefings at ATF. And when the head of the ATF at the time would be given the increase in body counts in Mexico, he would say things like, good, the program's working. Well, so this was no mistake. This was not a sting operation gone bad. This was premeditated murder. Well, if our government would do that, then even though I think the evil of the human heart is sufficient to account for somebody that wants to go and shoot people at random, we've had, since we've been keeping records in this country, this has happened every few years since the 1870s, 10, 20, 30 people being murdered at a time. By the way, long before semi-automatics were available to people. So this is what human beings are capable of. And we have to admit that maybe this is something that our government is capable of, because this is only 12 people murdered. They were good for 400 in Fast and Furious.
Wow. Well said. I've seen Mexican estimates of 2,000, but you're saying confirmed it's around 400?
Right, 400 when the guns were actually left at the murder scene. That doesn't mean that others haven't been murdered by people using these guns. It's just that we can actually tie the recovered gun back to the records that were being kept in Fast and Furious. Little Nazis keeping records of all the things that were happening.
Unbelievable. And now we have the spectacle of them declaring executive privilege. I'm actually pleased how far the Congress has gone. I didn't think they would go this far, but I'd like to see them go further. But
We owe a tribute to Daryl Issa, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, and to actually to Charles Grassley in the Senate, although he didn't have the authority and the power that Chairman Issa has. Issa had to, in a sense, arm wrestle the speaker to have the hearings, then to have the vote on contempt of Congress. And now it's his lawyers that are preparing to actually file charges in the federal court for the District of Columbia. Could very well happen before the end of this month, certainly early August. There might even be a resolution of that first complaint in the D.C. court sometime in September. There were two contempt citations. One was criminal. But that won't be heard until sometime next year because the backlog there is rather substantial. But civil cases move much more quickly in the D.C. court. And so as a nice little extra added feature for the election, we're going to be hearing about the mass murder committed by people under the direction of the Attorney General of the United States. And frankly, officials that one guy who reports directly to the president daily was involved in this, was routinely being briefed on how good a job they were doing with Fast and Furious.
Now, what is the sense in Washington? You just mentioned that there could be some criminal charges. What is the sense? Because if they can get away with Fast and Furious and lying about it and being caught, then they can get away with anything. I mean, it's either set up the executive as infallible and above the law, or we know this goes above Holder. It goes right up to Obama.
Yeah. Well, let's assume that the D.C. Court of Appeals, which for the District of Columbia, which is on the more liberal side, they don't manage to get a good judge in or panel, and the panel says, "No, Eric Holder didn't do anything wrong. We're not going to. He didn't need to supply any documents." Well, it can be appealed to the D.C. Court of Appeals, federal court, and there you have a much better shot at getting a sensible panel. Let's just hypothetically assume that the court says, "Mr. Holder, cough up the records." My guess is Holder would rather go to jail for a few months on contempt of court rather than go to jail for a few lifetimes based on what may well be in those documents.
And that's what's really scary. If they exonerated them, they would release them. This is a no-brainer.
Exactly. And now, I think they're between a rock and a hard place. And the more this high-level poker game gets played out, it'll be more and more difficult for the Democrat media to continue to sweep this under the rug. But because we have an alternate media, certainly not the least of which is your radio program, more and more Americans are finding out that, what? Our government did what? And that is indefensible. So I think it will be one of the many reasons that the president goes down to defeat. I kind of agree. I think the economy is going to be a big factor. But certainly involvement in a blood-curdling scheme such as Fast and Furious, that's going to contribute as well.
Unless they engage in election fraud. And I'm normally not a person that's lesser of two evils. I kind of got mad at Rand Paul endorsing Romney. But Obama is so bad saying that you didn't build a business, you didn't do jack squat, the government did it. I mean, it's like listening to Mao Zedong or something.
Well,
I mean,
precisely, it's listening to Saul Alinsky. And that's who the president's intellectual mentor has been, his works. He never met him personally. But he taught at Saul Alinsky's Industrial Areas Foundation. And the left does something that the right is not so good about. The left understands that personnel is policy. They seldom make a mistake in putting somebody in a position that doesn't completely toe the line. Republicans do it all the time. They'll take over a committee and say, "Well, these are nice people. I've worked in the minority. They're professional. They're not political." That's stupid. That's why they're called the stupid party. The left doesn't make that mistake. For Obama to have been chosen to teach at that Industrial Areas Foundation founded by Alinsky means he's that same small-C communist that Alinsky called himself. And that's what has been presented to the American people. I thought Obama was going to keep his mouth shut. I thought maybe he'd finally learned to stop lecturing us about why we need to be socialists, in particular on this gun issue of Fast and Furious and on the shooting out in Aurora. But yesterday, he couldn't He couldn't keep the salute down to the Führer. And he went off and said, we need to ban those AK-47s. In other words, we need to renew the Clinton gun ban.
You just gave an allusion to Dr. Strangelove where he can't help it. He's like, ah, ah, ah.
Exactly.
He goes,
exactly.
Small business didn't do jack crap. The state built it. And by the way, we should ban all semi-autos. I mean, he is committing political suicide in front of everybody. He just can't help it.
No, he cannot help it. I thought maybe he had learned. Even somebody as ideologically driven as Nancy Pelosi, in the run-up to the 2010 elections, told Eric Holder, when he reiterated that he wanted a renewal of the semi-auto ban, of the Clinton gun ban, shut up, Mr. Attorney General! Don't talk like that, especially this close to an election! So even a hardcore leftist such as Nancy Pelosi is capable of understanding that, but apparently not the president. He's 24/7 full-time socialism, and I think that's what's going to produce, very likely going to produce, a tidal wave. If the last election was a wave election, this could well be a tsunami. The American people are right of center. And for Obama to just rub our faces in his red diaper is not going to go over.
Unless he knows something we don't know. Now expanding on this.
Well, let me just, because you had kind of alluded to the possibility of election fraud. Yeah, I think that will go on. But as we saw in Wisconsin, the response was so intense that I think Walker probably won by 14 points. So you've got to win pretty heavily in order to get the 7 by which Walker ended up.
Yeah, fraud, and I've talked to all the election fraud experts. You're right, Larry. Historically, the fraud can't beat landslides.
Right. Not landslides. And hopefully that's what we're talking about. And the president just went and gave the landslide another little push, another tectonic shift of the plates down below the sea level, the sea floor, so that tsunami gets even worse than it was going to be.
By the way, that's a nice chair you're sitting in. You didn't buy that or build that. A government did. And I like that lamp. I guess government built that, and that painting was painted by somebody in the government.
I'm glad you brought that up. If there is one organization in the country that can say we are here in spite of the government, it's Gun Owners of America.
Come on, Larry, you didn't just appear. Government created you in a tank. Me too. Now let's shift gears to the really grave news. Okay, Congress won't pass their gun grabs. So the ATF last year tried a shotgun ban that could be loaded in the bottom, just executive, tell four states to report on guns when it's right. Already being reported by the NICS. They're obviously doing whatever they want. What about the UN treaty? You know, we finally got it, looked at it, it's finally out, and it says, oh, you've all got individual rights unless prescribed by this treaty. I mean, I've got all the quotes here. It says, yes, there are individual rights of states, but not of individuals, unless the state says it's cultural. Now, you notice Obama said in his speech, you can have some guns for culture, but nothing semi-auto. So it looks like they're going to go with that angle. What do you, France is in here with notes in the document saying we're going to use this to totally ban guns. So, I mean, here it is. More deception by them saying they don't want our guns, but the UN confiscates guns all over the world.
I hope they do go ahead and sign the treaty. It's kind of like the president popping off yesterday about renewing the Clinton gun ban. If they do that, and the language is indeed as you are finding, and which is apparently fairly recently coming to light. I mean, we had heard rumors about various kinds of bans and dealing with the movement of firearms within countries. Here's what I think will happen. The Senate's not, even Harry Reid's Senate is not going to ratify it. But if the president were to be reelected, then he has no political restraint whatsoever on him for the next 4 years. And I can see him telling through the ATF, telling gun stores, you may not sell a handgun above caliber 380, which is a very popular form of gun control in many other countries around the world. You may not sell a semi-automatic rifle that can accept an open box magazine that could conceivably take 30, 40, 50 round magazines. That is the way gun control has worked in a lot of the rest of the world. And if you don't cooperate with us, Mr. Dealer, we're pulling your license just like that. you're out of business that
well,
day.
Yeah, even Forbes did an analysis and said, well, the way it's, you know, earlier drafts, which where the UN says civilian ownership of firearms threatens a legitimate power monopoly of the state. I mean, look at where these people control things. New York, Chicago, guns are banned, basically. You know, D.C. Right. overturned, but still almost impossible.
Right.
I mean, we know their goal, their quotes. We know what they want worldwide. But this new treaty basically is written in legalese to say you have rights, but then they take them away with the next breath, kind of like the U.N. Declaration of Human Rights does, Larry. So my point is that why would they be so arrogant as to even try this when they know it's not going to fly here?
Well, that was my assumption also. And so when we began to pick up reports, even from somebody willing to talk to us within the UN, who's right on top of what's happening with this whole process, saying, look, there is still a 50-50 chance that this is going to come apart, that there's a lot of dissension among the member governments. It's not a done deal yet, but don't count on it not happening. It still could happen. We were warned. And so my view is it really doesn't matter about the treaty itself. What matters is whether or not the president is reelected. Because if he's reelected, Katie, bar the door.
And that was my next question. Joseph Farah, 4 years ago, did not endorse McCain. Neither did I. And again, I'm a constitutionalist, which is outside left and right. I'm sick of the Republican Party, you know, just right. being another, you know, globalist tool.
Right.
But Joseph Farah, who didn't endorse McCain, on my show just last week, he said, look, Alex, I've never talked like this in 30 years writing for conservative media. He said, I've read the tea leaves. They're going to hunt us down if he gets back in. And right. then I start looking at other issues. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have gotten mad at Rand Paul because, you know, what does he know we don't? I mean, Mitt Romney calls the cops on neighbors smoking pot. I mean, he's so goody two-shoes, he's kind of globalist and does bad things, but he's not a Chicago street thug, like mafia.
That is precisely the difference. He is not committed to cutting our throat just because we had our eyes resting for a few seconds. The current president is. And it's a degree of intensity that, Lord willing, can be controlled by a Republican Congress that just doesn't send him bad stuff and doesn't let President Romney get away with nominating bad people. They finally, the Republicans in the Senate finally showed that they had some sort of backbone when they told Harriet Myers, go back to the president's White House. You're not going to be on that bench. And that could be done with a Romney.
I thought Obama, even though he had this communist past, it was just kind of his left cover as a little corporatist minion, you know, of kind of monopoly capitalist. But now, more and more, it's like, wow, is this a communist coup within the power structure? I mean, because dangerous.
I think so. I quite agree. I'm of the persuasion that Mark Levin has it right. That Obama has to go no matter what. He said, if all I have to vote for is an orange juice can, I'm going to vote for the orange juice can. So when I go vote on November 6th, I'm thinking of actually taking an orange juice can with me.
I tell you, it is unbelievable the types of things. I've had Media Matters almost on a weekly basis now and Think Progress that are run by White House advisors. They have meetings saying I should be shut down. That Drudge needs to be, I mean, they are just Media Matters, as you know, a year ago, their internal memos came out where they said infiltrate libertarian conservative media, destroy us from within. This criminal justice department's going after News Corp, who's not perfect, but, you know, they're shipping guns to Mexico. Forget phone hacking in England. Right. I mean, I'm really starting to understand that it isn't business as usual where both parties are just corrupt. This is a raving group of criminals.
Yeah, this is an historic crisis. I agree with you. Both parties are substantially corrupt. And I would add one small caveat. I've been very encouraged on the whole by the way the Republican primaries have been going. We got rid of Lugar. We didn't get rid of Hatch because for the last year he's been lying about being a conservative again, and people gave him a pass. But in many of the other Republican primaries, particularly those that were open, no incumbent, the more Tea Party-type candidate prevailed. We got rid of Sullivan, who needed getting rid of down in Oklahoma. There may be some other incumbents that could still go down. So it's not perfect. We're human beings, and we still you know, have to owe everything that we do wrong to Adam and Eve. But I see a more discerning, more concerned electorate this year than even in 2010.
And I think even the power structure is getting scared. You know, power structure that isn't totally criminal but somewhat corrupt. They're understanding, hey, this has gone too far. You're going to get totally taken over by crazies if you don't put the brakes on this globalism. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes, and I think what could hopefully happen is that a majority of the Republican caucus after this election, because it's not now, becomes conservative dominant. Then even if they don't get rid of Boehner, which they should, but if they don't, Boehner is going to be further restrained and constrained, and he's not going to, for instance, he made it very difficult for Representative Daryl Issa, the head of the Oversight Committee, to even hold hearings. And then to have the contempt of Congress vote. Well, thankfully, Daryl Issa, I'll tell you what, if I had a candidate for speaker, it would be he. This guy clearly has a backbone. No wonder he made by himself over $300 million. And watching him, even though he's not a lawyer, he was asking questions as one of the best cross-examiners up there. The guy really has a cutting edge. And he could actually make a difference if he became speaker. But even if he doesn't, my guess is behind the scenes, he's got the backbone to tell Boehner, you know what, I'm going to come and give you a wedgie if you don't straighten up.
Well, certainly that is good news overall. Larry Pratt, I've got two final questions and anything else you have to add, because I know you're very, very busy and need to go here in just a few minutes. But I wanted to ask you here to elaborate, what will Obama do if he is reelected? And then that leads into my final question. You know, I've been very critical of the NRA. You guys are stalwarts. You've stopped so much they wouldn't fight. But I've suddenly in the last year or two seen the NRA come out and say Obama wants to ban your guns. Come out and I mean, are you guys forcing them to be honest, or what's happening? Because I had NRA board member, former Congressman Bob Barr on yesterday, and he's sounding more and more like Larry Pratt. I mean, are we the people getting more angry, giving them the moral courage? Because I feel like the gun culture is starting to win, and then all this gun grabbing attempt is like a desperate last attempt.
Yes, I think that's a very good analysis. I agree with that. When you look at the NRA, look at an entity that for many reasons, many purposes, functions the same way a congressman does. And they were never founded to be adversarial. They were founded to help the government work better. The union officers that founded the NRA were horrified that the Irish immigrants that got conscripted couldn't shoot worth a doggone, and those Johnny Rebs were able to shoot a squirrel jumping out of a tree. So had it not been for superior numbers and of soldiers they could just keep throwing into the meat grinder, the South really would have prevailed. So the NRA was set up as a handmaiden of the government. We were set up as an adversary to the government. And what's happened is now that we've been around and we've grown and enough people have begun to, ooh, there's a difference. Oh, why? I wonder why they're doing it that way instead of with the NRA. And it's thrown enough light on these issues that the NRA, responding much like any other public official that wants to get reelected, is saying, oh, like Senator Hatch, perhaps. Oh, so you want me to be a conservative, huh? Okay, I vote conservative. But I just want to keep the job.
Very well said. So in closing, any other key news blurbs? People can get free news alerts at gunners.org or join and support you. Very important to do. But what will Obama do? What's your intel if he gets reelected? What's going to happen?
Oh, Katie, bar the door. It's gunowners.org, and you can sign up for free alerts there. So we do urge people to go there. If the president is reelected, Alex, I think the United States, as we have known it, as it has existed historically particularly, it's gone. We will become a two-bit dictatorship like so many in the rest of the world, and it will take much treasure, let me just leave it at that, to regain a constitutional republic again, because we will then be living under, they will try to disarm us. They will then point the guns at us when, in fact, the Second Amendment, as I've said before, is intended for us to keep the guns pointed at the government so the government remembers every day, oh, yeah, I work for them. Nuts.
All right, Larry Pratt, thank God you're there, because I don't think we'd have our Second Amendment if it wasn't for you guys. Thank you so much.
thank you for having me on, because we have a much bigger voice because of you, my friend. Thank you.
Larry Pratt, gunners.org. Folks, go there, join today. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
And we'll get him on next week on the radio, if he can do it, to give us an analysis of the UN treaty. It just came out today. Story, a bombshell leaked UN treaty does ban guns. If you believe in this type of information and want to see a free press continue, despite the White House attacks on our organization, please subscribe for 15 cents a day at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you don't support us by spreading the word about the show and financially, you're nuts. We are the tip of the spear. And we are a platform for liberty, and we are risking our lives, our names, our treasure, our blood, our families in the gamble for liberty, because it is no gamble. Life is not worth living if you're a slave. So as for me, I'm all in the fight against tyranny. 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv. That's it this evening. Great job to the crew as always. I'll see you back tomorrow night and 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, at Infowars.com for the syndicated radio transmission. Until then, I'm yours in liberty. Alex Jones signing off. Great job, crew.